Where did you find out that?
I read the abstract.
It's implausible deniability.
It is indeed. Science does seem complex, but we're going to make some sense of it for you this morning with Rowan Sardi. Joins us for implausible deniability. Still is in Te Whanganui, Atara. Morena, Rowan.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. Is the road still closed outside Princess Street? It was this morning.
I think so, yeah. They've got their open day for the high school students.
I see.
I'm a little bit jealous. I was in COVID when this was happening.
Right. So if we look out the window now, we may see troops of high school students coming to see what it's like.
Yeah. Even the sports and recreation building is like semi-open, apparently.
Okay. And you never got to do this because of COVID.
No,
what a shame.
I didn't. I know. I'm in envy right now.
Are you still studying up here?
Yes. I've got this last semester to go and I'm done.
And you'll be, I always ask our students who are studying what they're going to end up with they come out of the university. Like, what's your degree?
A Bachelor of Arts in Communication and Geography. Don't ask me what I'm going to do with it, but hopefully journalism. We'll see how it goes.
And you're on a work placement at the moment.
Yes, at Verve magazine.
Yeah, how's it going?
Pretty good. Yeah, I'm getting to write some stuff. It's different. It's pretty commercial, but, you know, got to have a variety of skills.
For work placement, how long do you go up every day?
No, it's once a week. So it's part of the university. So it's a course that I'm doing.
Ah.
So I've got to do a minimum of 8 hours throughout the semester, which is pretty all right. You know, I managed to balance it with work.
Yeah, that's a good symbiotic relationship.
Absolutely, yeah.
Being able to do that.
It's a pretty good course, and they're trying to take it down. So
are they?
Yes, advocating for them to keep it.
Why are they trying to take it down?
Oh, it's just a lot of changes in the comms department at the moment.
I see.
It's a whole other story.
It's a whole other story besides marine preservation and the Hauraki Gulf Protection Bill.
Yes.
We all know a little bit about this from, you know, when it was announced that it was all happening. So tell us more.
Yeah, so I think it's really important to understand why we need this marine preservation in the Hauraki Gulf. I think a lot of people have been hearing things about it, but no one kind of is fully understanding how our biodiversity is suffering at the moment. So the Hauraki Gulf as a whole, which includes, you know, Auckland, Waiheke, Great Barrier Island, Coromandel, it's home to so many species. And you've got seabirds, kikino or fur seals, and most importantly, our kai moana, which has honestly taken the brunt of this ecological disaster. So to get an idea of how bad it is at the moment, you've got more than half of marine life has vanished in the last 100 years. And there is, in particular, 5 times less snapper and crayfish. So because they're quite sought after, the population is just almost, it's really, really nearing extinction. Late last year, actually, there was kind of an interesting phenomena where there was a rather nasty seaweed invasion, where it seems that the amount of seaweed just increased so much that it was really wreaking havoc on the waterways. There's a lot of, fish getting stuck in it, kind of everything was just sort of out of balance. Now, the cause of this is a lot more than just overfishing. I feel like that's the first thing that people think, you know, we're fishing too much.
Well, I'm thinking sediment for some reason.
Yes, I'll come to that in a moment.
Right.
Yeah. Now, obviously, fishing is a big part of it. You know, kai moana is a big part of our export. So it makes sense that with the population increase, you get higher demand for seafood. But there are many other factors that contribute to this. Pollution is obviously a big one. And there's right now so many countless ways at this point that we're polluting our waterways. But as you said, sediment is a big part of it. So the amount of boats out there is one thing, but sedimentation and urban development they're kind of overlooked quite a lot. So for sedimentation is when sediments are more or less, you know, they're rock particles of all forms. They're deposited and settle in any environment, and in our case, that's the ocean. So this is usually the result of erosion or wearing down of rock material. Now, both sedimentation and erosion, there are processes that they have to occur naturally, but they have to occur at a natural rate. Now, of course, you've got a virtually unregulated number of boats all over the place and some serious urban development going on. There's nothing natural about the erosion or sedimentation rate.
Where do the unregulated boats come in to that?
So this was before the sort of marine protection started, you know, when you've had hundreds of years of, you know, people just fishing wherever they want, whenever they want. And at the time, you know, it didn't seem, we didn't know what we know now, so it didn't seem like a problem. But years of that building up and what happens is, I feel like the residential land in particular that's been sort of developed, and, you know, you strip down the habitat, the pressure of construction and building, of course, is going to wear down the earth. And anything that we do on land is going to affect what happens in the ocean. So you've got all of this wearing down of earth material, and it ends up in the ocean eventually. And so that sedimentation buildup is what disrupts the habitat of our sea animals.
When does it come into being, the Hauraki Gulf Protection Bill, or was it already started?
So from my knowledge, it should have already started. Don't quote me, because it's been through a lot to get to where it is now. Yes. It's been years of proposing and changes, and but yeah, that's kind of the silver lining in all this. It's quite depressing, but yeah, after many years of environmental groups kind of petitioning and proposing a protection bill, it was, I think, approved in June. So it should be underway. But I think the thing about protection bills is that they take a lot of work to be sort of put in place. You know, you've got, especially over such a large area like the Hauraki Gulf.
And monitoring.
Yeah, monitoring what councils are going to do what, how you're going to regulate all of this ocean. But to be more specific, so what the Te Kapa Moana Marine Protection Bill will do is establish 2 marine reserves, 5 seafloor protection areas, and 12 high protection areas in the Hauraki Gulf. So for marine reserves, they're the highest level of protection, which basically is a strict no-take policy.
Of anything.
Okay. That's not just fishing. That's, you know, your shells, your rocks, anything is not to be taken.
Okay. Was that the entire Gulf? Obviously parts of it, there's 2.
Yeah, there's 2.
Well, people can look and
see
for themselves.
Yeah, you've really got to look at the map.
Do they take up most of the Gulf, or are they just specific smaller regions within the Gulf?
I think the last map I looked at, they had taken, the 2 marine reserve are quite specific,
yes.
But they've got other sort of protection areas,
the
so the lower level.
Okay.
Which is, from my understanding, it's, you know, you just can't fish there. But I think a lot of the discussion at the time was around, well, it's not just fishing, you know, you've got tourism as well. And, you know, the swimming, the, you know, snorkeling, the things like that also take place. So the debate was, do we allow these things to happen? I think they are, at the moment, especially in the high protection areas, they're more like regulated. There's a specific number of boats that can be out there.
I can see the map on doc.govt.nz if anyone is interested in seeing where these protection areas are. Because for a lot of people, they're going to have to know and understand this themselves.
Absolutely.
If they're users of the Gulf, if they're boaties, or, you know, they go snorkeling, or the tourist companies, they're going to really have to understand this, aren't they?
100%. Yeah, it's a very, very big thing to establish. And I think it's not that, oh, it's starting on this day from at this time. It's something that kind of takes a while to sort of start.
Of course.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a lot to take in. It doesn't even look, when you look at the maps though, as I said, if you're at home and you want to have a listen, doc.govt.nz on their site, they've mapped it out. Mm-hmm. It's not really taking up very much of the Hauraki Gulf,
nope.
Is it?
No,
but it
not.
Is specific.
Yeah, it is specific. And I think what people have to understand is, you know, when you've got this area of, oh, don't fish there, the fish don't know that, you know, they're just all over the place.
You
know, so
no, they will know that, won't they?
They'll
get to know that.
Yeah,
nobody is.
Well, nobody's there,
them.
But I think they're kind of everywhere. They're going to be swimming all over the place. So when you protect one area, and then you're fishing in another, it's kind of like out of balance, if that makes sense. But I think another thing I wanted to talk about was also the different types of conservation that have been happening across the Hauraki Gulf. So I think one of the most memorable ones for me when I was studying this was the Waiheke Marine Project, which is a community group on Waiheke that does all sorts of different projects. And one of them, which is the biggest one, is the kelp gardens, which is kind of exactly what it sounds like. They do a lot of diving and they plant kelp, which is this algae that is it's a source of food. It provides shelter for fish. So it's very important, and it's kind of going extinct as well.
Oh,
so
you've got that invasive seaweed.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So it's a game of balance. You know, when you've got something that's not there at all, it's bad. But if it's there too much, it's also bad. So I think we've, as humans, kind of messed with that balance a little bit. So it's restoring it. So there's a lot of groups out there. Waiheke Resource Trust as well has been doing a lot of good work. So hopefully with the Marine Protection Bill, that's adding some more protection.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you so much. It's given us a little springboard to go and find out more. As I said, particularly if we are users of the Gulf, and we need to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I dare say there won't be, Coast Guard won't be out there saying, maybe they will be. You don't fish here, the harbour master.
So there will be people out there that will be, you know, they've got their signs
monitoring
and everything.
It.
Yeah, there's a lot of monitoring. I think it is being taken more seriously because, like I said, the decline in species is just kind of insane.
So, Rowan, I hear that you have an obsession with Queen.
Yes, I think if Freddie Mercury was still alive and I got to meet him, I think I'd collapse.
Really? So how does this obsession manifest itself in your life?
Oh,
do you have albums? Do you just have playlists?
I've got my playlists. I think that I find Queen very good when I'm studying because they're very... Yeah, I know. I listen to rock music when I'm studying. It's a weird thing.
Yeah, I would find that a little bit distracting, I have to say.
I completely understand why you would think that. I think I've just got such a crazy brain and needs stimulation.
Well, that's perfect for this morning.
Yeah.
Okay. So what have you chosen?
Seaside Rendezvous. Oh,
that's so perfect.
I know.
Okay, and what album is this from?
Night at the Opera, one of my favorites.
Okay, thank you so much.
Awesome, thanks a lot.